Let's look at verse 22 once again. Now, before I read this verse of Scripture, three critical questions. And let me give you these questions, and I want you to look for the answer to these questions in the text of Scripture I'm getting ready to read. The first question is, what really happened in the garden? The second question is, what really happened on the cross? And the third question is, what really happens in a sinner's heart when God saves him? Those are good questions, aren't they? Now let's read this verse of Scripture together, and you see if you can see the answer to all three of these questions in this one verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For, as in Adam, all die, even so, in the same manner, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now the answer to all three of those questions are found in this verse of Scripture. Three critical questions. Now what do I mean? Why did I select this word critical? Three critical questions. Well, I looked the word up in Webster's dictionary, and here's how he defined this word critical. Nicely exact. Skilled in criticism. Censorious. And that is not really the word I was looking for. And then here's his fourth meaning of this word, pertaining to the turning point of a disease. Pertaining to the turning point of a disease. Now, if we learn what the Bible actually teaches about these three questions, and really they're all, you can't separate them. You can't separate them. If you understand the answer to one, you understand the answer to them all. They can't be separated. But if we understand, if in our hearts we understand the answer to these three critical questions, this will be a turning point to our disease. That interests me. Here are three major events. The fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. What really took place? Jesus Christ the Lord, nailed to a cross, bleeding and dying. What really took place? A man becoming what we call saved in his experience. What really takes place? Just about everybody has an opinion on what takes place. What does the Bible actually teach? Now, the first critical question is, what really happened in the Garden of Eden? Well, that is answered right off the bat in the verse of Scripture. In Adam, all die. Now, this is so important. What you believe here will really determine what you believe about everything else. Somebody once said, wrong on the fall, wrong on it all. And that's very true. Now, you know the story. It's not a myth. It's not a type. It's an actual historical event. God created Adam upright, gave him Eve as his wife, placed him in the Garden of Eden with everything his heart could desire, a life of pleasure, a life of happiness. The scripture says they were naked and they were not ashamed. It wasn't an issue with them. He had an innocent nature. And God gave him one commandment, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Satan deceived Eve. She ate of the fruit. Told Adam about it. He ate the fruit. And the scripture says the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. Now, what happened? What took place? You know the story. You know the mechanics of it. But what took place? Let me give you four things that took place. First, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Here's my first answer. God's will was done. The purpose of God was fulfilled. You remember that verse of Scripture? As a matter of fact, turn there. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now I want us to notice this. Notice what he did not say. He did not say, if you eat of it, you'll die, did he? He said, in the day you do, you'll die. When you do, you'll die. The will of Almighty God was done. Did God know they would eat of the fruit? Of course he did. Could he have prevented it? Of course he could. Did he? No. Why? Because it was his purpose. When we speak of anything, you know where we've got to begin? God's will was done. You can't take that too far. He doeth according to his will. In the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Regarding everything, it's God's will being done. He said, I am the Lord, and there's none else. I am the Lord, and there's none like me. I form the light, I create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God's will was done. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you've taken in wicked hands and crucified and slain. See, everything's God's will, isn't it? His will was done. You know, people talk about the directive and the permissive will of God. No such thing. He does his will.
Amen.
What happened? As in Adam all die, on that day Adam died spiritually. Now first, God's will was done. Secondly, Adam died spiritually. Well, what is death? It's the departure of life. It's the departure of life. When you die, you can't do what you can do when you're alive. You can't hear, you can't see, you can't smell, you can't taste, you can't feel. You've lost the ability to perform the functions of life. Adam died spiritually. He was brought to the place where he could see no beauty in Christ. He could not hear the gospel. He could not understand the gospel. He could not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was spiritually dead. He lost all spiritual ability. All God's got to do is leave him alone and he'll never come back to Christ. He's dead. What happened in the garden? Adam died. You know, the very idea of free will is ludicrous to somebody who has learned something about who they are. I mean, that's not a debate with a believer. You know something about your nature if God's given you some light. Adam died. Now, here's the third thing that took place. Adam died. Look what it says in our text in 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die. You see, Adam did what he did as a representative man. And here's what else took place in the garden. First, God's will was done. Second, Adam died. You know that when he sinned, he died. But here's my third point. What happened in the garden? Adam sinned, yes. In the garden, I sinned. Now, in my notes, I preached this message before, and in my notes, I said, here's what happened. All men were held responsible for Adam's sin. And that's true. That's true, but it's not really telling the whole story. I'm not simply held responsible for Adam's sin. You know, if I'm just held responsible for it, really I didn't do it. I'm just held responsible for it. It's more than that. It's not just that I'm held responsible for Adam's sin. I sinned. Romans 5.12. Turn with me there. Romans 5.12. I was talking to this Brother Fortner right before the service, and he brought this verse of Scripture out. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all, what? It's just as if they all sinned, or sin was imputed to them. That's not what it says, is it? It says they all sinned. What happened in the Garden of Eden? I sinned. But you weren't even born. I sinned. Now this is, believe it, it's what the Word of God teaches. I sinned. I was condemned. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Fourth, what happens? What happened in the Garden of Eden? With this spiritual death, Adam died, I died, you died, and this death manifests itself in this way. All men are now by nature God's enemies. That's what this spiritual death is. It's being an enemy of the Lord. It's actually hating the Lord. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Now here's the problem. Our problem goes much deeper than sinful habits or even addictions. Here's the problem. We would kill God if we could. Now that's the problem. That's what God holds men responsible for. That's what they do. And the cross is proof of that. The one time the Lord took away the restraints and let men do what they wanted to do, they nailed His darling Son to a tree. Now that's what happened in the garden. That's what really happened. God's will was done. Adam died. You and I sinned in him. And because of that, we're born into this world with evil, evil natures that hate God and would kill Him if it were in our power. You believe that about yourself? Well, believe it because the Bible says it. You know, I'm afraid I don't feel it enough. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. It's the truth. Believe it because the Bible says it. Now, here's the next critical question. What really happened on the cross? Well, look at our text once again in 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so, in the same manner, just as everybody Adam represented died, even so everybody Christ represented in Christ shall all be made. Now here's what happened on the cross. In Christ shall all be made. Everybody He died for is actually made to be something they were not. That's what happened on the cross. Now, It's a historical fact that Jesus of Nazareth was betrayed unjustly, tried, and nailed to a cross. He hung there until he died in indescribable agony and pain. What happened? They took him down, dead. What happened? Well, here's the first thing that happened. God's will was done. Now, when Adam fell, what's the first thing we said? God's will was done. When we talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the first thing we say? When we try to see what the Scripture says actually happened, well, the first thing is the will of the Lord was done. God's purpose was done. He's called in Revelation 13:8 the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Acts 2:23 says, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. Acts 13:29 says, And when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, they took Him down from the tree. Turn to Acts chapter 4. I want you to look at this. I love this verse of Scripture. Acts chapter 4. This is the early church. And listen to their praise beginning in verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now that's what happened on the cross. Everything that God's counsel determined before to be done. The will of the sovereign God was done. But why was He there? Why was He there? What was the reason? What happened? Well, let me quote that passage of Scripture again. In Christ shall all be made. Now, in Christ speaks of those who are united to Christ, everybody He represented. That's what in Christ is. It's everybody He represented. Everybody that's in Him. In Christ shall all be made. Now, here's what happened when we're talking about Christ making us. Or if in Christ I was made to be what I'm not by nature. That's what happened on the cross. What happened? Well, first of all, a real substitution took place. A real substitution. He took my place. He took what I deserve. The sins of the elect literally became His. Yes, they were imputed to Him. But would God impute something that wasn't there? They literally became His. He wasn't simply charged with them, although He was. But the reason He was charged with them is because they became His. My sin became His. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Why did He cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God forsook Him. That's why. Why did He die? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. My sin became His to this extent. He said, my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. Now, I want to ask you a question. Would God put a man to death for something he did not do? And would He? No way. God killed his son because his son was guilty before him. That's why. That, I can't understand how that took place. I know that Jesus Christ in his person never sinned. The only holy man to ever live. He knew no sin, Scripture says. He did no sin. The only holy man to ever live. Yet when he was on the cross, what was he? Nothing but guilt. Nothing but sin. The sins of God can do this. He took my sin and laid it upon him. And he became guilt before God. A real substitution took place. How real? Well, how real is his death? That answers that question. How real is his death? That's how really and truly the sins of his people became his. And you know, this is our confidence, isn't it? You see, if my sin actually became his, you know what else happens? His righteousness is mine. I find such confidence in this. I find such assurance in this. This is what gives me boldness to come into the presence of God. Just as truly as my sin became his. His righteousness really is mine. It's not just charged to my account. It's mine. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. But notice he said their righteousness. He didn't say my righteousness imputed to them. He said their righteousness. It's me. That is my righteousness before God. A real substitution took place. And a real satisfaction took place on the cross. A real satisfaction. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God proved he was satisfied by raising him from the dead. Payment was made. God's law said I can ask for nothing more. God's justice said I can ask for nothing more. God was completely satisfied by what he did. What happened on the cross? A real satisfaction took place. And listen to this. What I find satisfaction in is the same thing that God finds satisfaction in. Same thing. A real satisfaction took place. And on the cross, a real reconciliation took place. Turn with me to Romans 5. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's what happened on the cross. A real reconciliation took place. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that's a reconciliation. You see, all God's reason to be mad at me has been removed. What's he got to be mad about? I'm holy. I'm unblameable. I am unreprovable in the very sight of God. A real reconciliation took place. What really happened on the cross? Well, God's will was done. a real substitution took place, a real satisfaction took place, and a real reconciliation took place. That's what happened on the cross of Calvary. Now here's the third critical question. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam, all die, even so, in Christ, shall all be made, what's that last word? Alive. In Christ, shall all be made alive. What really takes place in a sinner's heart when God saves him? Well, here's the first thing that takes place. God's will is done. Same thing as the other two. Of His own will begat He us through the word of truth. God's will is done. I can't help but think of when the Lord told Ananias to go after Paul, and Ananias replied, Lord, I've heard by many how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem, and he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What happens? Well, the will of God's done. What happens? What really happens? In Christ shall all be made alive. Life from the dead. This is not merely light, although we are enlightened. That's a scriptural word. I wouldn't take away from the importance of that. But this is not merely light, getting your wrong thinking or mistaken notion straightened out. This is life from the dead. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's called in the scriptures a resurrection from the dead. A passing from death to life. A new creation. One that was not there before. He said, a new heart will I give you. One that was not there before. You can now do that which you could not do when you're dead. You now see the beauty of Jesus Christ. You now see the sufficiency of Him. You know what it is to simply rest in Him. You see His glory. You now love Him. You wouldn't change Him if it were in your power to do so. You love Him just as He is. You have life, spiritual life, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are no longer God's enemy. You have been reconciled to God. This is reconciliation takes place. Not only is He reconciled to me, I'm reconciled to Him. I love His way of saving. I really do. I love His way of saving. I am now truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Him. Now, what is a disciple? What is a disciple of Christ? I read a story that meant so much to me, and every time I think about this, I think this is as good an example as I've ever seen as to what a disciple of Christ really is. There was a young man who wanted to be a missionary, and he decided to give up whatever it was that he had been doing, and he wanted to give himself to being a foreign missionary. And his parents were against it. He had an education. They thought he had a big future ahead of him, and they thought he's just messing up everything doing this. But he was determined, I'm going to do this. This is what the Lord would have me do. So he did whatever it is you got to do to get ready to be a missionary. I don't know if he went to school or what. I don't know what he did. But at any rate, he finally got to the place where he was going to be a missionary, a foreign country. And as soon as he got there, he got a disease that came from that land and died 2 weeks later. And you can imagine how devastated his parents were. They were against it in the first place. And his dad went to this country to get his retrieve his body and bring it back to bury him. And he was looking through his stuff. And he opened up his Bible. And he saw on the back page these words written. No reserve. No retreat. And no regret. Was this a wasted life? No reserve. No reserve. No holding back. No plan B. No ace in the hole. No reserve. No retreat. Burn my bridges. And no regrets. By His grace, this is what happens in a sinner's heart when God saves them. They become in love with Jesus Christ. And they follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. That's what happens in a sinner's heart when God saves them. Life from the dead. Now these three critical questions, what happened in the garden, what happened on the cross, and what happens in a sinner's heart when God saves him? If you know the answer to one, you know the answer to them all, don't you? I trust it's been a blessing, Pastor.